Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. Let's take a minute and pray here. Dear God, I just pray that you would be with these few feeble thoughts and words, that you would multiply it, that you would cause the increase, God. We trust that you will. We are thankful that your spirit is here with us. Help us to understand what you would be speaking to us this morning through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. The message this morning, continuing on in the Sermon on the Mount, we get one verse in Matthew 6:24. It says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," which literally means riches. You cannot serve God and riches, God and money. And that's our verse for today. It's seemingly sandwiched in there between your eye is the lamp of your body, which we heard last week, and next week is not to worry, and God provides, and stuck here in the middle. It feels like it's kind of squished in there, is that you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money. And so as I looked at that verse, I pondered, there seems to be a statement and then an explanation and then a fact. And the statement is that no one can serve two masters. And kind of an explanation would be either he hates the one and loves the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. And then a closing fact that says you cannot serve God and mammon. And so I broke down my verse, our verse for today, in those segments. And we'll look first at the statement that no one can serve two masters. So these are my own musings, and I trust God will use them. That's specifically why I prayed this morning while we started. I throw a lot of thoughts and ponders out here, and I pray that God would be able to use them and to produce fruit and provide the increase. I don't follow through on a lot of my thoughts, but it is to make you think, is my plan, to make you ponder. What is God speaking to you? What is he saying to you in these verses this morning? So again, the first statement, no one can serve two masters. And I said, is that true? Can you serve two masters? You can do two things for two different bosses. You can do different things for different people. You can have two best friends, right? The double thing I don't think is a problem. We share our time and our talents with dual people in places, probably more than just in a couple of ways. Sometimes we're pulled in many directions. I don't think the word two in the statement, no one can serve two masters, is the problem. So what's the problem? What's the issue? Is it the word masters? I don't know. I mean, we can, again, have two things pulling at our loyalties. We can spend our time in many different things. So what's the problem? I landed that the problem would be the word serve. And as defined, there are two definitions as a verb and one as a noun. The word serve would be to perform duties or services for another person or an organization. If you would to serve and perform duties or services for someone else or another organization. And the other way that it's an action verb is to present someone with food or drink would be to serve them. The way that it's a noun is it's only a noun in sport. Of tennis or racquetball or ping pong, the act of hitting the ball or a birdie to start play. As in, wow, did you see how he curved that serve? And so I wanted to look at the word serve this morning through those three definitions. And I think we'll be able to see, hopefully you'll be able to see what I mean when I say the word serve might be our biggest problem when we say no one can serve two masters. So we'll begin looking at definition as a verb to perform duties or services for another person or an organization. So if we look at this, performing duties. And again, you might say, Eric, you know, I can serve two different places and it's fine for me. And I will say, yes, that can be true. We have the capacity to serve in many places. And to an extent, you can serve two different organizations until you have to be at the same place at the same time. And then it doesn't work so well. And at that point, you cannot attend two meetings at once or be in two gatherings at one time. And so it's then that you must decide, who will you serve? We can serve many folks and many things. The problem arises when we have to choose who we will serve. Or is the real problem having to choose? Maybe the real problem is having to choose. Maybe we do have a problem with the word master after all. If we truly had a master, he would tell us how and what to serve. If we really had a master, we would not have to decide. He would do that for us. Do you have a master? When we feel like we can serve two things at once, guess what? You're your own master. You are deciding. You are planning. You are making it happen. You are your own master. And so again, I ask, do you have a master? Let's go back to the second definition of the word serve, to present food or drink to someone. Can we do this to multiple tables and multiple people at the same time? Well, yes. Waiters do this every day, and until two tables want something at the same time. And then here we go again. We have to choose who we will serve. Can we serve many folks? Well, yes. But our service will not be as good, will it? Our service is not as good when we are pushed fairly thin. It's the same way with Christ. Can we serve him and others? Well, yes. But again, our service is not as good. We can try and serve many folks, but we really couldn't if we actually had a real master. And again, if you think you can serve many folks in many places, guess what? You again are being your own master. A real master will only let you serve him. And so I ask this morning, do you have a master? The third definition of the word serve is in tennis or paddle sports or act of hitting a ball or a birdie to start play. The serve is a crucial part of the game. The serve starts the whole process of play and scoring. So you have to begin the game of tennis or a racquetball or a paddle sports. You begin with the serve. Now, I have a ping pong table. I'm not great at ping pong, but I have fun. You know, I'm not great at it, but I don't embarrass myself. I can play. So I don't always win, but I enjoy playing. And, you know, the serve starts the game. And there's different ways you can serve. You know, there's the fast, there's slow. There's a curve, there's a topspin or a backspin, and I can't do all that, sorry. But there's different ways to play the game. And so, in as I pondered this definition of serve, how would it be to serve under this definition? Now, I know Matthew wasn't talking about ping pong when he quoted Jesus in saying that you cannot serve two masters, but allow me to illustrate a little bit. Let's see if this microphone works down here. So, can I serve two masters? No. I got one ball, and it has to go in one corner. So even if I'm playing doubles, I can't serve them both at the same time, can I? I have one ball, and there it goes. One person, that's it. So you can't, again, through this definition of serve, you can't serve two masters. So now let's say that if we're serving, let's say that we're serving Jesus, and let's say Jesus is over there playing ping pong with me. How would you serve Jesus? You know, I mean, would you try to sneak one past him, right? I mean, would you do everything you could to at least get one point, right? Or would you serve Jesus in a way that made sure that he gets the point? Our tendency in serving is to make sure that we get the point. But when we're serving Jesus, the intent is that he would get the point. And it's not easy. How do you serve your master? And the statement again, no one can serve two masters. And the explanation, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. Again, the fact is that you cannot serve God and mammon. I think we understand the explanation already this morning. And the explanation again is that either he will hate the one or love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. I think we understand that we cannot do it all, that one will be lacking, and so we will have to prioritize. And he words it in that you will love one and hate the other, or you will be loyal to the one and despise the other, however you want to say that, but we will prioritize one when we try to serve two things, or three things, or four things. And in the end, we become our own master, because we are deciding. I think the base root of this problem comes from the truth that we are confined to the constraints of time. I'm not going to develop this too much, but for those of you who like to sit and think and stretch your minds like a rubber band, try this on. We are subject to this statement and explanation that we cannot serve two masters because of the boundaries of time that we are required to reside in on this earth. God knows our limitations, and he exposes them here to us in our text. We cannot serve two masters. We are confined to this body. We are confined to time. And so we cannot serve two things. And all of these preceding words and all of the preceding ping pong is to point in the message and prepare us for this fact that you cannot serve God and mammon, literally riches. You cannot serve God and money. But I like to try. I'm afraid I do try. And then I'm left with the question, who really is my master? If I am deciding. And we have come to the conclusion that we cannot serve two masters, whether they're servers at a table or servers at ping pong. You cannot serve two masters. And so I am left to only serve one master. And we understand that we want to make sure that he gets the points, even when it's our turn to serve. But I really want to serve God and money. And then I realize again that I am doing what I want, and I'm becoming my own master again. And I don't want to be my own master. And so the circle in my head spins until I land on the end of verse 6. It's not apologetic. There's not a lot of explanation. It's just a fact. You cannot serve God and mammon. And at this point, I must agree and hang my head in submission that I cannot serve God and money. Why do I try? You can have God, and you can have money, but you can only serve one. Did you know serving money takes time and resources and calculations and effort and scheming and planning and hours spent on realtor.com searching or whatever you look to? Hours, you know, scrolling through your, it's Luke scrolling through his coin app, you know what I mean, his Bitcoin app. It takes effort. Serving money is kind of consuming. You can have money, but to serve money requires you to make it grow and multiply, which takes effort. You can have money, but to serve it requires that you make it grow, and that takes effort. And guess what you end up doing? You read books about making money, and you talk to experts, and you pay for seminars, and you watch online classes, and you do your research, and you invest with wisdom and knowledge in the fields of your choice. To serve money takes tremendous effort. You feed your money. If you feed your money with your time, you can make it grow. Did you know that growing money can be addicting? Growing money can be more addicting than spending money. Millionaires rarely go to coffee shops. It's too expensive. Why? Because growing money is more addicting than spending money. When you have a lot of money, you get tight because you're going to hang on to it. It's funny. But growing money is more addicting than spending money. But, on the other hand, if the money you make already goes directly towards your investments of mortgage and tuition, you don't have as many worries as other folks who have to fret over what to do next. Having a decided financial path is not terrible. There are usually many more problems when your financial path is open for discussion. But even when your financial path is planned and all of your payments are lined out in front of you, you know, In your heart, you can still serve money. You can still serve things. You don't need money to go on Facebook Marketplace and look at all the cool stuff. You don't need money to go on Etsy and to see everything cool, and on Pinterest and to see what everyone else is doing. You don't need money to do that, but it will still take your heart. The problem is in your heart. Matthew 6:21, we just read this a few weeks ago, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you fill your mind with your wants, you will soon forget all your haves, God included. If you fill your mind with all your wants, you will soon forget all your haves, God included. There is serving God, and then there is serving God as your complete and only master. And the question is, do you have a master? I'd like for you to turn to John, 1 John 2. 1 John 2. First John 2, verses 15 to 17 is a good completion of these verses. In 1 John 2, 15, it says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." And so the question again rings in our ears, who is your master? And the question of how do you serve? I had many more verses to go through, but it led our minds away from the question that hangs before us of who is your master and how do you serve him. And so as I prepared this morning, I started nixing the end of the sermon, and it got shorter and shorter and shorter. So I'd like the chorister, if he would prepare and very soon come lead us in a closing song. Because I think it's enough for us to ponder who really is your master this morning, and how do you serve him? And if God is speaking softly to you, calling you to work on your serve this morning, I ask that you would come and gather around the ping pong table at the closing song for you to work on your serve. I ask that nobody else that would come and pray with you except for those that gather around. I pray that we would encourage each other around this table, men to men and women to women. Whether it's working on your serve or letting him be the true master, or just even allowing Jesus to get the points when you do serve. If that's something that you need to work on, I would encourage you to gather around the table and encourage one another this morning as we close. Because I believe we need help in this matter. When we are left to our own vices, we wander. And we soon become our own master. But when you encourage one another, you strengthen yourself at the same time. It is a good thing. So let's pray. Dear God, again, we are thankful for your word. We are thankful for the way that you have called us to be your servants. In maybe a new and deeper way this morning, God, we recognize our tendency to be our own master. We recognize we need help to lay that down again this morning, God. God, help us to be humble. That you would be able, the one that would receive the benefit and whatever points there is for our service, God, that you would be glorified. That there would be no recognition needed from us, only you. God, we are so grateful for the way that you have blessed us. Help us not to be distracted by our blessings. And help us to serve you as our master. In Jesus' name, amen. The chorister would please lead us from over there if that would work. And again, if God is working on your heart, come encourage one another this morning. Thank you.